Hallelujah. Well, you can open up to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Okay. There's my Shirley. I need to make sure she writes it down. Okay. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night." This evening, we are declaring his faithfulness with a heart full of thanksgiving and praise to our God for who he is and for the blessings he bestows upon us every day. Our thanksgiving should not be limited to this Thanksgiving Day, but all year long. This holiday came about to remind people to stop and take the time to give thanks. You know, Thanksgiving Day wasn't until 1863 when Thanksgiving became a federal holiday under the presidency of Abraham Lincoln. President Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, to be celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November. Now, it had been celebrated, but it never was official, so it never had its own day. Under his administration, it happened. Beneficent Father, El Shaddai, the one who meets and supplies our needs, and not just abundantly, but more abundantly. Thanksgiving Day is in a mere 2 days. More like 37 hours, ladies. You know, and it's even earlier for those that are preparing the meal that day. See, it starts awful early for them. When it comes to Thanksgiving, what comes to mind? Being together with family and friends, the famous Macy's Day Parade, football games, food, lots and lots of food, of all kinds and varieties. Not everyone does turkey on that day. See, according to the National Turkey Federation, an organization made up of humans, not turkeys, okay? Make sure we get that. 88% of Americans eat turkey in one form or another on Thanksgiving. Where's the other percentage at? So like I said, not everybody eats it. And but though the reason they do partake of it is that this holiday was because of the abundance of the birds that were in the Northeast. And those were truly free-range birds, by the way. Yeah. Well, there are 10 traditional foods for a Thanksgiving meal. Number one is the turkey. Thanksgiving wouldn't be the same without the turkey. To me, it's un-American. But then you have number two. You have stuffing and dressing. And man, there's a lot of varieties of that. But you have mashed potatoes, not instant and store-bought, but real potatoes, peeled, whipped, mashed, put the butter in, put the milk in, you know, real good stuff, you know. Four, gravy. You gotta have the gravy. But see, at our house, you gotta have ketchup. You gotta have ketchup. You just ask Teresa this story, she'll tell you. Number five, dinner rolls. Oh, man. You know, there's something about that smell of them in the oven and bacon. Oh, love them dinner rolls. Six, cranberry sauce. Now, for me, you know, I forgo that. But, you know, there are some at our house that love that. Then seven, corn. Corn. You know, and this year, at my house, we're having real corn because we took it during the season and cleaned it off. Teresa took it, boiled it, and cleaned it, and put it off, and froze it because she wanted real corn for Thanksgiving. Number 8, green bean casseroles. If you can't make it right, don't make it at all. That's all I got to say. Now, some people have really butchered those things. Okay? And then you have the candied yams. Everybody likes candied yams. And that was my mom's actual favorite. Then in 10, to top it all off, what do we have? Pumpkin pie with Cool Whip. And not just a squirt. I mean, boom, you put that Cool Whip on that pie, right? Whew, Jesus, come on. Hallelujah. But the event that Americans commonly call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World in October of 1621. It was attended by 90 Native Americans and 35 pilgrims. And they ate for 3 days. Woo-hoo! I mean, they better have some stretchy pants on, some suspenders, right? 3 days worth of that? I know what one day does. Hallelujah. I know a lot of you are I've been waiting for this day. I've been holding off. And when Thanksgiving comes, partake. Enjoy. Hallelujah. I'm going to enjoy. I'm telling you. But the pilgrims were God-fearing, God-serving, and God-honoring. They were devout Christians who loved God. They were people who gave thanks to the Lord for His protections and His provisions. They made a choice to give thanks, to live with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. All I got to say is, may all Americans realize the importance of giving thanks to the Lord for who He is and for His many blessings that He bestows upon us every day. I've seen people have a pity party because of what they haven't accomplished instead of praising God for their successes. They focus on what they don't have or what they haven't accomplished. Some are waiting for life to improve before they change their attitude. We don't have to be completely satisfied with everything in our lives to be thankful. Every one of us is a work in progress. Even if we're not where we want to be, we can thank God that because of His saving power, we're not where we were. Yeah, we were on a one-way path to hell. God has done so much for us. But sometimes it seems like people are ungrateful. They will say, you've done that. Okay, Lord, now give me this. Nah, that's not going to work. See, instead, they should be saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me now. And thank you for the greater things which lie ahead for me. That's how you say it to God. No matter where we may or may not be, spiritually, financially, physically, or emotionally, it is never okay to have an ungrateful heart. Colossians chapter 1. And Shirley's turning, so we're good. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. Hallelujah. But I want you to look at that in Colossians, verse 14 there. In whom we have redemption through His blood. and the forgiveness of sins. We can always thank God for saving us and forgiving us of our sins. Number one. Well, how about this one for you? We can be thankful for the unfair advantage we have as a result of the greater one who lives in us, guides us, and leads us. See, it doesn't matter how bad the situation looks. We are never alone. God himself has said, I will not leave you alone, nor forsake you. That's an abbreviation of Hebrews, okay, 13:5. But the point is, you're never alone, folks. He will never leave you alone. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, Shirley. And this is what David wrote here in this. And this is the ERV. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His faithful love will last forever." Yeah, his faithful love will last forever. That's very comforting, isn't it? Malachi, give thanks to the Lord because he is good. All right, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Say that with me. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Okay, now, I'm going to see if you got it. When is God good? That's right, all the time. I like that when we participate. See, we should be giving thanks for his goodness. And that first song, when you understand what the word for goodness is, it's going to change that song for you because it changed it for me. And you know when that revelation came? When we sang it, because I didn't pick it because I knew I was putting this in the message. But God did. I didn't. Because if you'd have seen the scriptures I started with, they're way down at the bottom. For some reason, I always start at the back end, and he says, no, you got to go to the beginning where I want you to start from. So, and I listen. But so we should be giving thanks. Now, go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Okay, we're going to look at verse 1, okay? But you got to remember now, goodness in the Hebrew is the word chasid, okay? It's spelled C-H-E-S-E-D, but it's pronounced chasid, okay? It's important to learn what these words mean, because then when you look them up, you'll see where a lot of these definitions actually come out, why it's used there, okay? So when God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai, he described himself as overflowing with goodness. All right? So you're there, verse 1. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets you broke.'" I guess he was the first one who broke the law. But you know the story behind that, right? Jump down to verse 4. "So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth.'" And truth there is actually faithfulness. Okay? But that's another story. But I want you to understand that. Now, abounding in goodness qualifies as overflowing. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? Okay, that's better. That's better. I thought I lost you for a minute. All right, goodness is one of the most significant words that describes God's character. Remember? Chesed? Okay. It is often translated as mercy and sometimes as, ready for this, loving kindness. The basic meaning of the word is loyal love or steadfast love. Makes a difference when you hear that song. The goodness of God, the steadfast love, the loving kindness of God. Changes the way you listen to that song. See, it refers to His loyal love and faithfulness to His covenant. Give thanks. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, Shirley. I do that because it paces me down, because she said, you go too fast, and we don't get a chance to write the scriptures down and catch up. So that's why when I called Shirley, that's because she brings it to my attention. She says, you're doing better, Pastor. I said, okay, Shirley. No. Hey, I got to listen. Okay, you're there, Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. International Children's Bible Version. How great is your goodness! You have stored up for those who fear, revere, and worship you. You do good things for those who trust you. You do this for all to see. And so everybody can see what He's doing for you when you are trusting in the Lord and believing for something you are wanting or needing. Whether it comes at, I'm talking financially, spiritually, emotionally, hallelujah, or physically. You protect them by your presence from what people plan against them. You keep them safe in your shelter from evil words. I'm telling you, give thanks. Psalm 27 now. Psalm 27. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Yes, He will set you high upon a rock, high above your enemies where they cannot get a hold of you. That's where He will put you. High on that rock. Rock of protection. Give thanks. Now go to verses 13 and 14 there. Listen what the psalmist says. I would have lost heart. Yeah. It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That today, he was going to see it today. He believed he was going to see the goodness of God today in his day. What are we supposed to be believing for? To make sure that we're seeing the goodness of God. Unlike the verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, for the Lord will go before us, and His joy will be our strength as we wait on the Lord. Yeah. His goodness. Hallelujah. The goodness of our Lord and Savior. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. Blessed is the man and the woman who trusts in the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 16 and 18, New Living Translation. Always be joyful. They always be joyful, regardless of how difficult circumstances seem. Verse 17, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Be persistent and consistent in prayer, maintaining a faithful prayer life with thanksgiving. What did Paul wrote in the book of Philippians? Okay. In chapter 4, he says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. With thanksgiving. And then you will have what the next verse says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want to point something out to you that you may not have noticed. But in Psalm 27, there, where it says that He will strengthen your heart. Many of you thinking, the physical heart, the spirit. No. Okay. That is the Hebrew word, labi. And it's in reference to feelings, the will, and the intellect. Are you getting me? He will strengthen your, and what the, when you look at, find out, it's your mind. He will strengthen your mind. Okay? Now you come down here in Philippians, and he says, all understand will guard your hearts. Now we're into the Greek, right? And it's cardia. It's almost same definition, but you know what it's specifying here? Feelings. He will guard your feelings, your emotions, protecting you from being hurt. Scriptures seem to make a lot of difference, don't they, when you look at them in the Greek and in the Hebrew, don't they? But now back to Thessalonians, verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances. In all circumstances. That's bad or good. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. See, thankfulness should characterize our lives in every situation, no matter what. I'm telling you, give thanks. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. New Living Translation again. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. He turns things around. He will make it work for us to the good. We should be thankful for the opportunities presented to us and make the most of them, because things aren't going to be handed to you on a silver platter. As a young man, was feeling very proud of himself. As a brand new college graduate, he had taken his CPA exams and passed them with flying colors. Now he had a title which made him a full-fledged certified public accountant. His father had been an immigrant to the United States. Legally, he came home. And now owned his own little business. Well, filled with self-importance, the young man began to criticize his father's way of keeping books. He said, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. Over here in this drawer are your accounts receivable. Over there are your receipts. And you keep all your money in the cash register. You don't have any idea on how much you've made." Father said, Son, listen. When I came to this country, the only thing I owned was the clothes I was wearing. Now, your brother is a doctor. Your sister is an art teacher. And you now are a certified public accountant. Your mother and I own our own home. We have a car that we paid cash for. We own this small business, which, by the way, put you, your brother, and sister through college. Now add that up, son. Subtract the clothes, and all the rest is profit. Add it up, church. That's exactly what we need to do during this Thanksgiving. Add it all up. We came into this world with nothing but the eternal soul that God gave us. Everything else is profit. We have profited quite well, I'd say. We should be joyful. We should be joyful. See, a thankful person is a joyful person. A joyful person is generally a thankful person. So, in our first scripture we read, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Amen? Give thanks. See, during the holiday season, we focus on our blessings for this Thanksgiving. We express our gratitude to God for them. But our thanksgiving should be more on our lips and coming on our mouth every day. Every day we awaken. Thank you, Lord. I'm awake this morning. Hallelujah. I'm awake, Lord God. I'm ready to go. What do you have for me? But what is coming out of your mouth? Are there words of unthankfulness coming out? Or words of thanksgiving? Because see, it'll make a difference on how your day goes. In fact, it'll make a difference on how your life goes. If you lead a life of thanksgiving to the Lord, you have a bright future. I'm telling you, you have a bright future. And that's when you should remind yourself what it says in Psalm 118. Verse 24, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it." See, you got to remind yourself of that every day. No matter what's happening or not happening, remind yourself. Say that. Say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it." See, make it personal. See, be joyful. Be thankful. Give thanks. Give thanks for the day ahead. Well, you don't know what it's going to contain. Well, give thanks for the day. And watch how it changes the day before you. Hallelujah. A joyful heart does good like a medicine. Is that not what the word says in Proverbs 17:22? Thanksgiving is an act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, a public celebration in acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. When thanksgiving becomes an integral part of our lives, we will find that our attitude towards life will change. We will become more positive, gracious, humble, and loving. Psalm 95, verse 2, New Living Translation. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. We have so much to be thankful for. How's that song go? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. So as we partake of this Holy Communion tonight, give thanks for the redeeming and cleansing blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. What He has done for us, and we didn't do anything to earn it. It was by grace. Amen.